It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up later, the movie Back to the Future turns 30 years old today. We'll talk to a guest about why the film remains a classic to this day. First, an anniversary a little closer to home. 5 years ago this Sunday, Wisconsin's indoor smoking ban went into effect. It banned smoking in all enclosed workplaces in the state, including all bars, restaurants, lodging establishments, and private clubs. It's hard to remember that only 5 years ago, restaurants had smoking and non-smoking sections, except in cities with their own bans, and that the expectation was that any bar in the state was going to be filled with smoke. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. 5 years later, what do you think of the ban? Are you happy with the results, or do you wish you could still light up at a restaurant or a bar? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Here with us now is Allison Miller, Media Advocacy Director for the Central Region of the American Cancer Society. Allison, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, take us back to the effort leading up to this ban 5 years ago Sunday. Why was Wisconsin's indoor smoking ban sought and put into place?
Well, as is the case across the country, you know, there's a movement and continues to be a movement to get secondhand smoke out of all workplaces because, frankly, there is no safe level of secondhand smoke exposure. There are thousands of chemicals, dozens of which are proven to be known carcinogens. And so, you know, it's really a matter of making sure that people are not needlessly exposed to cancer-causing agents, and we can continue to move forward with reducing the state's tobacco burden. So it was, you know, certainly something that was discussed in the state for many years and was a long time coming. And now 5 years after it's been in place, I think we have public opinion polls show that 86% of Wisconsinites support the law, which is, you know, much more than even when the law first went into effect or just a few years ago. And people, like you said in your introduction, expect when they sit down for dinner or they go out with friends for a drink that they're not going to have to be exposed to secondhand smoke.
Do we have any information, any data yet on the health impacts of having this ban in place?
I mean, there's data that comes nationwide and some that was done in the immediate years when the law first took effect in Wisconsin. In fact, just in the first 3 to 6 months after the smoke-free air law went into effect in the state, there was a study done with bartender health, and bar workers had experienced significant improvement in their respiratory health. There was about a 36% decrease in bartenders reporting that they had wheezing or shortness of breath, that they had sore throats, and that they were feeling sick, and that was conducted by the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. There was also some studies on the air quality inside bars and restaurants that had greatly improved. The small particulate matter that causes those respiratory problems had been reduced by 92%. So, you know, that's just two particular studies here in Wisconsin. There are numerous studies across the country that indicate, you know, heart attack rates decline, that people, you know, actually employers benefit in that there are fewer sick days, employees are healthier, and as are patrons.
Now, the research you mentioned alludes to this a little, but can you just spell out the effects of secondhand smoke in enclosed places, given the state of the art of the research right now?
As far as what is known about secondhand smoke?
The health impacts, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the prolonged exposure to secondhand smoke is proven to cause cancer in non-smoking adults, as well as be a significant contributor to heart attacks, strokes, and other emphysema, respiratory illnesses. Essentially, all of the same effects that smokers suffer just by exposure to that secondhand smoke. You know, each year Wisconsin sees about 7,000 deaths that are directly tied to smoking, and there's about, if I remember correctly, about 700 or so that can be attributed to secondhand smoke. Secondhand smoke, you know, causes all of, like I said, all of the same conditions that smokers deal with, except that in the case in Wisconsin before the law went into effect, there were employees that were being exposed to that without any choice in the matter.
We're talking to Allison Miller from the American Cancer Society about the five-year anniversary this Sunday of Wisconsin's workplace smoking ban. It affects our lives mostly at restaurants and bars, banning smoking in those locations. We'll go now to your calls at 800-642-1234. We've got David on the line with us in Sparta. David, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think of this?
I'm a smoker myself, and I completely agree with the restaurant part, the restaurant side of it. I have a wife, I have two kids, and even when I could smoke in restaurants, I wasn't due to my family. Now, if I'm going to go out on the town with my wife and we're going to go to a bar, it's becoming discriminatory to me. It used to come with the territory, and you're able to smoke in a bar. Now I do feel like it's discrimination. The laws are starting to change now where they're not even wanting you to smoke in your kid in the car if you have kids that will ever be in that car. So that's a law that I've seen. There's some buildings you can't even smoke within 50 feet of. And so it's we can't smoke in places where we're going to go drink, you know, or have a beverage. And now you can't smoke outside some vehicles. They're trying to put it where you can't even smoke in your own vehicle if you're a smoker and you have children.
Gotcha, David. So Allison, first of all, his point that it's going so far. He was okay with it in restaurants. It's going so far, he says, that it's making life unfairly difficult for smokers.
I think in this particular case, the law really did just affect workplaces. So when you're talking about the difference between bars and restaurants, you know, there's no difference to those employees in their health between whether you work in a bar or you work in a restaurant, or most often they're both bars and restaurants really combined. And so, you know, your bartender doesn't necessarily have any less right to smoke-free air and good health than, you know, your wait staff in a restaurant. As far as the other concerns when it comes to restrictions, a lot of those are your local ordinances or their other private, you know, whether it's a hospital ground that decides you can't smoke in a certain distance. You know, we're really focused here in this case on making sure that all employees have that protection so that no worker has to choose between, you know, their paycheck or their health.
David, thanks for the call. Another thing I was kind of taken from that was that bars aren't places we go to expecting healthy behavior, whether as patrons or employees. It's a different scene. We choose to go there or not. And to work there or not, I suppose. So maybe that could be a zone where smoking is okay. Obviously, under the law, it currently isn't.
Well, and I think that was a debate that was had extensively before the law was passed, whether, you know, bars should be considered somehow different than any other workplace. But again, to say that people have a choice doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, if you're working or living in a small town, perhaps you don't have that many employment choices. Or why should that bartender have to go find a different job simply because they're somehow their health isn't valued the same as wait staff health? Or, you know, as far as a patron goes, and let's say you're a cancer survivor or you're somebody with respiratory problems, you know, you deserve just as much of a right to go out and have a good time with your friends and family and expect that clean indoor air as anyone else. And, you know, to step outside, like the gentleman said he had done before, it's become more and more just automatic and expected. I don't think it was an undue burden for folks to just step outside.
Well, moving ahead to the state of the art today, we have e-cigarettes and vaping now. I don't know that the word vaping existed 5 years ago. Is this something you're looking at, vaping in these locations where we currently can't smoke indoors?
Well, I think there's a lot that's unknown about electronic cigarettes. And like you said, yeah, 5 years ago, nobody would even know what you meant if you said somebody was vaping. And so the sudden and very dramatic increase in electronic cigarette use is certainly something that the American Cancer Society researchers are looking at as far as what is in these devices, as well as what we're looking at policy-wise and the public health ramifications. I think it's far too soon to say anything about what the science says, just because it is so new. But when it comes to using e-cigarettes indoors in places where smoking is otherwise prohibited, you know, it's certainly something we would encourage that people take outside as well, not only because we don't know what's in this aerosol that's being emitted, we don't know what chemicals are in it, and some of the preliminary science is concerning, but also because it renormalizes and potentially glamorizes the act of smoking again for both kids and for everybody to see, you know, that behavior once again indoors risks kind of backsliding on some of the progress that we've made in tobacco control and curbing smoking.
Allison, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Allison Miller, Media Advocacy Director for the Central Region of the American Cancer Society, talking about Wisconsin's indoor smoking ban went into effect 5 years ago Sunday. Over at the Central Time Facebook page, Albert writes, "I can remember all the predictions of this being the end of the restaurant and bar scene. Hasn't happened that way. I think the people who smoke have done well to adapt to the change." What do you think? Share your thoughts over at the Central Time Facebook page.